Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself as a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. Now, for today's show, we will be talking about self-belief and self-acceptance. Please feel free to participate or just to listen. And I'm going to introduce Kat, who's on the other end of the world from where I am, and I'm going to let her start off the discussion. Kat, what do you have to say about self-belief and self-acceptance?
Oh, hi, David. Hi, everybody who's listening. Thanks for tuning in. So self-belief and self-acceptance go hand in hand. But let's look at them for a minute, and let's pair it back to when you were a little child, back before anything really started to penetrate your psyche and stop you from feeling self-acceptance and self-belief. Because that's the building block right there, is when you were an infant. At that time, you had complete acceptance and belief in yourself. You had to. That kept you alive. So at some point, if you had neglectful caregivers, you would have stopped believing in them. You would have stopped believing in that they would, if you cried, they would come. You would stop believing in them and the support that they would give you. And then the answer to you as to why would be, because I'm not lovable, or because I'm not good enough, or one of these understandable messages that you would have started to tell yourself. Often children will also say to themselves that it's their fault that their parents are the way that they are. And they don't understand that their parents have got their own stuff they're going through, and there's reasons for why people are the way they are, and it's not the children that are the reason. But children don't know that. So you need to bring it back all the way to when you started to tell yourself that you weren't enough. And that belief system is the foundation that builds you up. Now, if you had caregivers who were good at what they did, then you would have had the opposite. You would have had that, I believe that they will care for me. I know that they will look after me. If I cry, someone will come. And you would have built up a belief system that you were good enough and that you were loved and that you were lovable. And those two fundamental aspects of the infant psyche are there. Psychologists tell us about it. We know it to be a scientific proof. This is where a lot of the inner workings of the subconscious mind start, is in that time. And we also know that the subconscious mind sort of builds itself into the body. And anyone who does body work, who does rebirthing, who does breath release, who does kahuna massage, anyone like that will know that they can release deep, deep inner traumas by working with the body. And that is because the subconscious mind is captured in the body. So what we need to do is really look at the acceptance of self being that you are who you are right now. No matter what has happened to you or what you have done, you are who you are. And in standing in that, in saying, I am who I am, I am what I am how I am all that I am, you can begin to accept. Now, if you've done some bad things and I'd like to see anyone raise their hand and say they haven't, because we've all stuffed up. Then the best thing that you can do is look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you've done it. You know, when I was 5, I stole a lolly from the shop. When I was 7, I punched my friend in the arm. When I was 15, I had a girlfriend or a boyfriend and I kissed someone else. You need to own up and accept it to yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. It's not a confession thing. It's a self-acceptance thing. It's a thing where you look yourself in the mirror and you say, yeah, I've done stuff I'm not proud of. But did I learn from that? Either A, yes, and you grew, or B, no, and you contracted. If you said no and you contracted, okay, where did I go and what did I learn from that? And then you can expand, because you've gone, well, actually, I learned this, that, and this, and that, and something else, and I can see how I grew. There is, in that moment of I can see how I grew, bang, you can accept yourself. You can say, all these things that I did, I grew. Now, if you did something, and we could, we're international, we could be talking to anybody. So you did something that's reprehensible, raped an old lady, or beat up an old man, or did something that would be something that you couldn't forgive yourself for. At that time there, that is where you have to be in that personal responsibility. Look yourself in the eye and accept that you've done it. By doing that, you can begin to move on. You may never ever release yourself until you fully accept it. Having apologized may not be enough. You may need to actually really fully embrace the fact you did it and accept it. If you're a psychopath, you won't care. So I'm not talking to psychopaths. Self-acceptance is, you know, it's a multifaceted thing. It's not something we could just put one thumb on and go, there, that's how you do it. But if I was to make a blanket statement, it would be, yeah, you have to look at the hard things about yourself and accept them. But you know what? There's a lot of good things about yourself that you may not be accepting either. And there may be a lot of reasons for that. You may have been browbeaten into thinking that by telling yourself you love yourself, you're somehow being egotistical. You may have been browbeating into thinking that nothing you do is good enough. And so you may be in denial about the good things that you do and the good about who you are. And that there is another time when I would encourage you to sit down with a mirror in front of you and a piece of paper and look yourself in the eyes and then write down all the good things that you've done. Now, you could pick a year. Age 15, I did these good things. Age 27, I did these good things. Right now, this year, I did these good things. Today, I got up, I did these good things. And you start to accept that you are good. Because, you know, this crazy world, it's one thing if you outright done things that aren't so good and you have to accept yourself. But it's another thing, and it's often harder for people to accept themselves when they are a good person, because they're told it's bad to think that you're good because then you're being egotistical. And as we've discussed in the past, David, the ego is simply the aspect of the self that needs to survive. And so it's going to want to push itself up so that it gets the sun. But it does not mean that by quietly knowing that you are good, you're somehow being an a-hole by being an egotistical person. It's not the case. What do you think, David?
Well, I really liked what you said about personal responsibility, and I liked everything you said, Kat. you really are spot on when it comes to our discussions, and you add such a rich texture to the subjects that we talk about. I learned a long time ago in 12-step meeting rooms that anytime anyone anywhere reaches out, I'm responsible. Now, that's looking at it from one side of the coin, but to own up to our shortcomings, I think, is very important. And that actually helps build self-esteem. Now, to me, self-acceptance or lack of self-acceptance comes from low self-esteem and a belief that you're not worthy, beliefs that are dysfunctional to accepting yourself. I had a lot of trouble with that. Now, it's interesting what you were saying about the caregivers influencing the child as it grows up. My caregivers, my parents and grandparents and all of the teachers that I had, most of them, but I'm specifically talking about my family of origin, was very loving, and they helped empower me with this belief at a young age that I was good, that I was inherently good, that I was lovable, all of those things that a child needs to have in order to thrive, not just survive. The bugaboo for me came when I started feeling different from other people. Now, today I recognize that there's no such thing as normal, but I had always wanted to be quote-unquote normal. And what is that? There's no such thing as normal. We're all unique in our own regards, and who would want to be normal is what I say today. Today I fully accept myself as I am at this point in time, and I trust that there's quite a journey ahead of me as far as acceptance and life experience and all of that. But getting back to childhood, when I started to realize I was different from other people, especially because I was getting in touch with this idea that I might be gay, and I didn't want to be that way. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to marry and have a family when I grew up. And the more I heard about gay people, the more confusing it was, because I bought into the stereotypes and I couldn't relate to them. But I knew deep inside me that I was different, and there was nobody I could talk to about it. So I really started to go down a dark path of I'm not good enough. I am living this secret that if it's exposed is going to cause me to lose the love of my family. It's going to cause me to be rejected. And very insidiously, I developed a big problem with self-esteem. And I got really out of sync with my true self, because I was focused on what I perceived to be bad. And, you know, this is a struggle for a lot of people, and it doesn't have to do with just being gay. I mean, there's so many different ways that people can shoot themselves in the foot. I'm too fat. I'm not good looking enough. The list goes on and on and on. And we do this to ourselves. When we don't embrace that we are children, beloved of our higher power, whatever you may conceive that to be, we are beautiful just as we are. And I think it's so important to affirm that as a person starts to go down the path of coming to accept themselves. I went on quite a journey. And I'm not going to get into the whole journey because we only have an hour and we have a caller on the line that I'd like to get to, and I'm sure Kat will have more things to say. But the important thing, as far as my own journey goes, is that I released myself from the shackles when I started to accept that I was gay. There were other things I had to accept, probably because of low self-esteem connected to being gay, and I took it out in other areas too. I became an alcoholic. I fell prey to other addictions, and I've recovered, largely recovered from those things today. Now, I didn't just do that by myself. I had a big support system, and I think it's so vital for people that have self-esteem issues to reach out for help. Nobody can do it totally on their own. It is a sign of strength to reach out for help. It will increase your self-esteem. It did for me. It's been a long journey. I don't think that I really started to develop some self-esteem until I was in my early 30s, and I'm now 64. And today, I truly love myself. I can embrace all of the gifts that have been given to me, all of the things that I thought were bad, quote-unquote bad. That's another story. That can be somewhat of an illusion to think in terms of black and white. There's a whole spectrum of color in between. I really like what you said, Kat, about making up a sheet of positive attributes that we possess. I think it's so important that we empower ourselves to recognize that we are more than our shortcomings. Yes, we are human. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, there are learning opportunities, and we can grow. And sometimes what we perceive to be our biggest failures are the best learning opportunities for us to grow and continue to thrive. I think that I would like to speak to people who have been abused and beaten down in some of the most god-awful ways. You are worthy. You are lovable. Reach out for help. It's there for you. There are others who've been there that can help you find your way to a place of freedom and where you can get beyond just being a survivor. You don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. And so those are some of my thoughts, and I would like to see what Eleanor has to say, and then I'm going to come back to you, Kat. Does that sound okay?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Okay. Hello, Kat.
Hey,
hello, David.
Hello.
Hello, Eleanor.
Hello. I had a...
What would you like?
I had a loving family, but my father died when I was 9. And then I still have abandonment issues because of that. He was my best buddy, and he thought I was a princess and a tomboy during the week, but a lady on Sunday. And I really enjoyed him. I was a rich little poor girl because he worked in a department store, and there was nothing there that he couldn't have and take home. So I had all of these toys and expensive clothes. But I had his attention. I could write dozens of things that we did together. Every time I see a loving father and daughter, I'm reminded of things we used to do together, piggyback rides, jump rope, picking four-leaf clovers. Just it goes on and on. So I really appreciated my father very much. I didn't have low self-esteem until I was in puberty, and that was for me around 10. I discovered that I was probably gay, but I didn't know what gay was. And I went to the dictionary and looked up some words, and I thought, oh, no, not me. And I went to the church catechism and looked up some words, and I thought, oh, no, not me. And it was a secret I couldn't share with anyone. And I struggled with it all my life. I don't struggle with it now, thank God, but there are some strange things that come up. For instance, I thought my whole church was open and affirming to gay and lesbian lifestyles. I just found out that it was just my church that 75% of the churches nationally don't welcome gay and lesbian lifestyles. So I'm still in a church that doesn't welcome gay and lesbian lifestyles, but I thought I was in a church that completely accepted, and they don't, only 25%. So I have to concentrate on that. I'm trying to reach out to older members in my community because they deserve it. I found out one older member of my community, my old community, had passed away, and I have to find out when her funeral is and try to go to it. I don't think I would wish the guilt and the ostracism that I felt during my days of being gay on anyone. It was just too much. And I hope I'm in a place where I can talk to young people and tell them they're as good as anybody. And I am in that place, in the church that I'm in.
That's wonderful, Eleanor. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I'd just like to listen to you and Kat because you share so beautifully, and it helps me along.
Well, I'm glad that it does that. I'm not going to speak for Kat. I'm sure she has some affirming words for you, too. But I just really appreciate you sharing a part of your story, your struggles and your triumphs. And that's where we can all find healing as we knit ourselves together and knit up those wounds that have been inflicted on us. And I certainly can relate to your experience and the secret keeping, thinking that I was the only one in the world, that there was nobody else to talk to. And I applaud you for your courage, for your desire to reach out and help others who've been there, who are going through the struggle now, I should say. And it's interesting what you said about your church. What I recall about it is that each church makes its own decision about becoming open and affirming. And
right.
thank God your church has done that and that you found a home that's accepting you. We do have another caller, but I will go to them later. Just to let the other caller know, today we're talking about self-acceptance and self-belief. And let me throw it back to Kat and see if she's got any other thoughts she'd like to share, or if Kat, if there's anything from your personal experience you'd like to share, you're welcome to do that too, of course. And Eleanor, we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so recently I was working with somebody and I found out that they are transsexual and that they've transitioned from female to male. Now, it was in an official capacity that I was working with them and I'd hit a roadblock with not understanding how a situation could have unfolded and they had no choice but to admit this situation for themselves to me. My reaction was just to go, oh, okay then, now I understand, that makes sense, and move on. I didn't make a big deal of it because to me it wasn't a big deal. For the other person, it was a big deal to admit to me because they were afraid of my reaction and possible rejection. However, I don't see people as a category or a way they should live. I don't see people as somebody who has to live by rules that I have. I don't see people in a way that if you don't live the way I say you should live, then you should not accept yourself, and you should convert to the way I live, and then I'll decide whether or not I accept you. I don't subscribe to that. Now, I know that there are a lot of belief systems out there that do, but I see people as people. First and foremost, you are a spirit, you are a soul. You have chosen to reincarnate into a human body so that you can learn and grow. In that learning and growing, your body is going to have experiences. One of the things that I've often pondered about is the experience that somebody will have in that their body is transitioning from one gender to the other. And I often wonder if it's because the soul has had multiple lifetimes as one gender. For example, this person may have had multiple lifetimes as a female. And then the soul decided, you know what, I'm going to start to want to have lifetimes as a male. So maybe I'll begin to incarnate into bodies that have more testosterone. So the soul incarnates into a more masculine, a female body, but with more testosterone. It starts out as a tomboy lifetime, and then it goes into maybe a still maybe heterosexual, but more characterized towards masculine pursuits. And then finally there's a lesbian lifetime where it's very much a masculine lesbian. And then it gets to a lifetime where it says, okay, I'm going to reincarnate again. I'm still feeling towards the female body, but I think in this lifetime I'm really going to make that transition towards male. And it has a female to male transition lifetime. And then that person there, next lifetime, bang, incarnates as male. Now, that to me makes sense. And so it's a theory, but it makes sense to me. And so when I see somebody who's going through an experience where they're having a homosexual lifetime or a heterosexual lifetime or a transitioning lifetime, I don't care, because that's your life experience. What I care about is that you're happy, that you're loving your life, that you are learning and growing, that you're getting all that you need. These are the things that I care about. What you do in the privacy of your own home, as long as you're not hurting anyone else or yourself, that's all I really care about. I'm not interested in how you are orientated in your attraction or how you are orientated in your identification. I only care that you are happy and that you are learning and growing and that your needs are fulfilled and that you're not hurting yourself or anyone else. I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Christian, an atheist, spiritualist, spiritist, that you worship the flying spaghetti monster. I don't care. Really, because when you pare all of that away, you are a soul, and you are beautiful, and you are perfect, and you are having a learning and growing experience being incarnated as a human being. And if we go into self-acceptance and self-belief, bring it all the way back to that. Who am I? I am all that I am. I am worthy. I am good enough. I am lovable. I am loved. I am all that I am. You are a soul who is having a human experience, who is in a body. You are not the body and you are not the mind. You are a soul. So that there takes it all the way back to complete belief in who you are, because you are an amazing child of the universe. And when this body expires, you will not expire in who you are. You will be the soul. You will still be. My little girl asks me, because she knows that I work as a civil funeral celebrant and that I work with people who've passed away. And she sees that I'm very comfortable with that work. And she wants to know why. She's six. And I tell her it's because the body has finished living, but because I'm putting it in words that she can understand, the spirit, the mind still lives on. So she can see that she can think within her head and have thoughts. So I tell her those thoughts live on, that sense of who she is will always live on. And just happened, I wrote a service. I'm about to deliver it today. I wrote it over the weekend. And as usual, the person who I wrote the service for was there in my head with me, making sure I wrote certain things in their eulogy, because they wanted to be certain that a sense of who they are was conveyed properly. And when her life partner read it, he really liked that. So we need to know that that's who we are. And then the self-acceptance of the lives that we are living makes it easier. Now, I'm a heterosexual woman. I was always a tomboy. I do karate. I do have a little bit of a masculine side to me. Maybe next lifetime I will incarnate into a lesbian body. I don't know. But I will tell you this. I am also a clairvoyant medium. Some would call me a psychic. And that there is something that is heavily persecuted. And I know that recently I've been screwed over by an official institution because they found out what I do. I was honest about what I do for a living. And because of that, they screwed me over. I experience negativity, anger, persecution, complete ignorance because of what I do. I also experience fear and disgust when people find out that I worked as a funeral celebrant. And I'm frowned upon because I deal with things that are taboo. So I have a choice. You know, I can hate myself because other people are ignorant towards me, or I can love myself because I know that the work I do is what I'm born to do. And that when it comes to the time that someone needs me, I'm fully engaged and I'm there for them. And those people appreciate me. And any ignorance or barriers that they may have had towards someone like me before they met me tend to melt away. So self-acceptance, you're stuck without it. You can't move forward without it. You'll be in cement shoes, never being able to move forward, wading through mud, if you don't accept who you are. That's it. You know, you've got to accept that. And then there's the self-belief. And David and I were talking before the show, and he said, I know I need to word this, but how do I word about self-belief? And I said, pair it back to infancy. And I have, as a life coach and clairvoyant medium, I have a lot of clients who come to me who are internally crying and in struggle and agony because they don't have self-belief. It causes pain. And the way that I help them to release themselves is I remind them of the time when they were an infant and they had self-belief that they could sit up. And they agree, yeah, I sat up. And then I say, right, well, when you were an infant, You had self-belief that you could take your first step. Yes, I did take my first step. And then when you were a little child, you had self-belief that you could dress yourself. And at some point you told your parents, no, me do it. And they said, yes, I must have, because I now know how to dress myself. And I said, and at some point in your childhood, you had the self-belief that you wouldn't roll out of bed and you no longer needed any a cot or a barrier to stop you from rolling out of bed. Oh, well, yes, actually, that's true. Have you ever ridden a bicycle? Yes, I have. So at some point during the process of learning to ride a bicycle, you had the self-belief that you could ride without training wheels. Oh, actually, yes. Well, I said, okay, so let's take it back to eating. At some point, you had the self-belief that if you chewed your food and swallowed it, that you would feel better afterwards. Oh, yes, actually, that's true. And you had the self-belief that you could eat some foods and they made you feel good, but other foods you didn't like. And then maybe later you found out that your body rejected them for a good reason, that you were allergic or something like that. Yes, that's true. So you see, I pair self-belief all the way back to that time, because that's your foundation of self-belief. That there is the foundation, and you have it and you never ever lost it. And then you can look at your life and you can look at the things that you do every day without thinking about it and realize, if I had self-belief, I could do that. If I did not have self-belief, I could not do that. Washing yourself. You have self-belief that you can wash yourself properly. You have self-belief that you can towel yourself off and get dressed. You have self-belief that you can walk, or if you're in a wheelchair, that you can use the wheelchair to get around. Self-belief is not a big magical thing. It's a fundamental aspect of who you are. And if you can do those things, then you can turn your mind to doing great things. If you can have the foundational things, you can have the massive achievements. What do you think, David?
Well, I really like what you just said. It's very affirming, and it reminded me when we talked before the show and just now of all the areas that I didn't even realize I had self-belief in. I was thinking about some of the struggles that I've had in life and how I've overcome them through the belief that I can recover. And one of them that I'll point out is I had talked about having been an alcoholic at an earlier stage in my life. Well, I believed that I could recover from that, and I did recover from that. I don't believe that there is anything that a person who sets their mind to it cannot recover from, including bad karma from previous lifetimes. There's an interesting book out there that people might want to check out, written by Mary Blake, called Bye Bye Bad Karma. And the subtitle of it is Rewriting History to Change the Future. I love that subtitle. But her premise is that even karma from previous lifetimes can be reversed and erased forever, so that whatever you've experienced in a previous lifetime that is an experience that you've come back to re-explore can be erased. And I think that, you know, when we think about reincarnation, obviously we've had lives that have had the whole gamut of human experience. And this is necessary in order for us to round out our souls and to become complete and whole. I mean, we're all in it together. We're all one, ultimately. And I think that, or I believe that this life that we've been given now, as all of our lives, are precious gifts. And it's up to us to come to learn to accept ourselves, believe in ourselves, and know, beyond belief, know that we are invincible. There is nothing that we can't overcome. And, you know, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier. I believe in the importance of affirmation. And even if it's just a matter of taking those baby steps and you say you don't believe that you are beautiful, maybe you could open your eyes and say, I'm willing to believe I'm beautiful. And just to let you know, folks, during tonight's meditation, I would ask that you be ready to look in the mirror and to have a mirror ready if you can do it. So at this point, I'd like to speak with the other caller that's on the line and see if they would like to share. I'm going to area code 808. And what is your first name, please?
Hello, this is Bhavana.
Hi, Bhavana. Is there anything you'd like to share on the subjects of self-acceptance and self-belief?
Well, thank you very much for these topics. I feel they're so beneficial. And I've been in a time in my life, I've been loving and accepting myself more than ever. And then when I realized it's become like a muscle I'm training, I just said to myself the other day, and it's interesting you have the show like a week ago, if there's anything else that's taking me away from loving myself more so that I can feel God's love and love others more, please, how about I disbelieve my beliefs in, this isn't going to work out, or can I really go to the next level? I've been taking those one after the other and saying, what if this actually worked out? How would you really feel? And you know what? It's been giving me so much more motivation, and awesome people are coming in my life. I do healing work. Awesome students are showing up, and I'm feeling more and more at peace. I just wanted to make a remark about that. So I just feel like it's the key to really turning lives around where we can feel oneness with people, ourselves, nature, and animals. Thank you.
Thank you. I loved what you said about peace, because that is something that I believe comes from self-belief and self-acceptance. Kat, is there anything you'd like to say in closing from your end, and then I'm going to go to Eleanor?
I think it, for a lot of people, self-acceptance and self-belief is a long-term project to get to a point where you have a positive mindset about who you are. And I encourage you to take a step every day towards that place. And you can imagine in your mind that the positive mindset about who you are is a ball of light, and that you have that ball of light in the center of your mind, in your mind's eye, and that you are within it. And every day, the ball of light burns away the negative idea of who you are, and it reinforces the positive idea of who you are. And I like what Bhavana said about the more that she believed and told herself that good things would come, good things had come. So tell yourself these things and keep in your mind's eye that light, because it's a light that burns away all the parts that hold you back. And if you always have that light in your mind, you'll never ever succumb to the deepest, darkest places that you could go if you had depression or any kind of apathy or suicidal thoughts that lack of self-belief and lack of self-acceptance can take you to. So that ball of light in your mind is highly important. All you have to do is see it as a golden white light, just a ball. It's not blinding, it's comforting. It's got a warmth to it that makes you feel good. Focus on that. Keep that there and let it nurture you so that more and more of the positive knowing of who you are is brought to the surface, and more of the negative BS about who you are is burnt away by the light. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Kat. You know, I was just thinking about something that you'd said earlier in the show. You were talking about I am statements, and I just wanted to make a comment that I think it's so important to watch what we connect the I am to. It becomes our reality, like Bhavana was talking about. I am, and I hate to use the word should, but I'm going to use it in this instance. I am statement should only be connected to that which is positive. If that's what we want to draw into our lives, that's what the I am statements should be connected to. I encourage people to release any negative comments that are attached to I am statements and to watch your thoughts, watch your words, and make sure that they are uplifting to your spirit, that they lead you on the road to self-acceptance and to believing in yourself. Let me just go back to Eleanor and see if there's anything else she'd like to say. We'll probably end the show a little bit early, but I'm open to going the full hour. Eleanor, is there anything else you would like to say, darling?
Well, right about now, David, I am... I am trying to, as they say in continental countries, I'm trying to thin. And it's very difficult because I have been struggling with this for my entire life. And it made me feel safe when I was suffering from mental illness. But I haven't been suffering from mental illness for the past 8 years. I got through my sister's departure and my mother's departure and my lover's departure and about 8 more people without having a nervous breakdown. So I figure if I can last that long, that it's over for me. But I just can't seem to lose enough weight to walk. I'm on a walker. And I just want to walk. So I am struggling with that.
Well, let's see if Kat and Vavana have anything that they can share that might be helpful to you. And then we'll move into our visualization meditation. Kat, is there anything that you would like to say to Eleanor?
Just a statement I am, as David said, just change it around from I am not able to walk and start telling yourself, I walk easily, I am able to walk easily. And I'd also, just on a physiological level, have your hormones checked to see if you've got a high insulin count. It's different to a glucose test. You want to see how much insulin you've actually got. It's all, because the insulin issue will keep you overweight. Just on a physiological level, if you can go and get some testing to see what's going on with your hormones, that might help to get them in balance. But we tell the subconscious mind what we are and what we want in our lives, and the subconscious mind delivers it. It doesn't. It is completely devoid of emotion. It just is. It's like it is what it is. You tell the subconscious mind, I am fat. The subconscious mind says, you are fat. You tell the subconscious mind, I am thin. The subconscious mind says, oh, okay, I am thin. So even though it's not actually in this moment, in the moments ahead, it will come. So it's important to look at that. But also sometimes we hold trauma within our body, and that can be held within the water of the body. And that may also be a reason why. I mean, I'm not with you. I can't do a diagnosis. But I would ask you to explore these ideas. But more than anything, tell yourself, I am able to walk easily. And this will help your body to start to ease up. And stretching and things like that would help as well. What do you think, Vavana?
Let me go to her just a minute. I'm going to open your mic, Vavana. Go ahead. Is there anything you'd like to share, Vavana? Yes.
Yes, please. Thank you, Eleanor, for being open, and David for asking. When I look in your body, and I do what's called medical intuition too by distance, Eleanor, is that I'm looking at your brain, your lower back, so your root chakra, and going to the back of your ankle, both ankles. I'm not seeing your electrical energy firing through your body, which what means to me is if you can, in addition to the subconscious mind belief telling, that's where it starts, and visualization, my weight has yo-yoed over the years. I'm very small, 4 feet, 10 and a half, so it shows when it does. And I've lost a significant amount of weight, and I started with saying what I was and having a picture in my mind. And if it helps to print a picture of yourself, if you have anyone of the past, whatever works, because the mind believes what you tell it, the subconscious and visualization, seeing is believing. There's that, and I would encourage you to work with a practitioner, with a nutritional practitioner, because you may be having a dehydration. A lot of us are having it, and we don't know we're having it. And that can throw off the whole electrolytes in the body, helping the neurons fire, and all of the endocrine system, the hormones, everything is related to hydrating the body with certain cooked vegetables and spring water. So I'd look into that, and the blood sugar imbalances, metabolism, thyroid, go over the whole system. And I like this approach called nutritional balancing. You can Google it, Dr. L. Wilson. It helped me lose a lot of weight. It involves meditation, prayer, the right kind of foods, and cleansing the body, which she mentioned water cat, you know, cleansing it with vegetables and food that help you to cleanse, and certain other detox methods. And I wish you well, and then just a lot of love. Keep sending love to your heart from God, because love opens so many doors, and love is the most powerful healer that can turn things around. So that's what I have to say, and if you'd like to, I'd like to ask you if you want me to pray for you. I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, thank you. My name is Eleanor.
Okay, Eleanor. Keep you in the prayers.
Thank you, Bhavana. I really appreciate that. And we're going to close in just a moment, but just to promote Kat, who is a spiritual teacher and a psychic clairvoyant medium, I would like to give her the opportunity to put forward her contact information and anything she'd like to share before we go into meditation.
Yeah, connect with me on Facebook at Kat Edwards. Kat is spelt with a C, like the animal, meow. And I'm on Kat Edwards, Life Coach and Spiritual Professional, as my page. And my website is katedwardsclairvoyant.com. And you can book in with me there. And if you're in North America, then your evenings are my mornings, so we can work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. And just to let folks know, next week our topics are going to be manners and respect. And so now I'd like you all to go to your mirror if you have it nearby. If you don't, you can just close your eyes and visualize. And before we begin, I'm going to ask you to take a few slow, deep breaths, inhaling through your nose to the count of three. One, two, three, and exhaling through your mouth to the count of one, two, three. Do that a couple of times, and then we'll begin. And before we begin, I'd like you to imagine yourself as a young, innocent child, carefree, feeling full of love. And if there were any traumas in your past, I'd ask you to go to a time that was happy. We all have those. And now I'd like you to look in the mirror and look just into your eyes. Don't judge anything you see. Just look into your eyes with the eyes of love and see the marvelous light that shines back at you. Look into those eyes and see them as your eyes, as a small child. Look into that child's eyes and give it all the love you can through your adult eyes. And as you look into those eyes, say, "You are beautiful. You are precious to me. You are worthy. You are loved." And now just continue to look into those eyes and continue to gaze with wonder at the eyes that are shining back at you with the love light of self-belief that all is well, that all is simply love, that all is divine, that all is a delicious mystery, a delicious adventure, a sweet apple meant to be savored. Tell that child that you will always be with it, that you are the child's future self, and that you will always hold that child in the eyes of love, that that child will always be safe within your loving embrace. And so now look one more time, and I'll be silent, and just give that child all the love you can with your eyes. And continue to breathe. And when you are ready and feeling complete, you may leave the mirror and come back to a place of consciousness within yourself, aware of the surroundings around you, aware of this place and this time, and with the knowing that all is well, and that you are love. And so I wish you all a good week. Please join us again at the same time next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Time U.S., 10 o'clock Brisbane Time Australia, in the morning on Monday. And, of course, it's 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, Sunday. And so I wish you a good week once again, and God bless.
Thank you, David. Thank you.